Viven en Rabba Isai. Pirkei Avos, the Mishnayos actually has only five prokem. But the notion of learning Pirkei Avos we mentioned in between Pesach and Shavuos was as a preparation for Kabbalah Sater. So since 1 week remained, therefore they added, they made a parak vav, a sixth parak, which is actually not part of the Mishnah, as the very introduction. That's the very introduction to the parasha indicates. Shono chachamim b'shain ha-mishnah. The chachamim taught in the language of the Mishnah, but it's not actually the Mishnahis. Baruch shebocho b'hem u'mishnasi. And one is blessed, Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tiferes Yisrael translates, Shebochor Bohemu V'mishnosam, that he esteems the Chachamim. Bohem is their actions, how they conduct their lives, V'mishnosam, and the learning that they have. That's very interesting. Rameyer begins, Rameyer Omer, which has really been the clarion call of Torah over the last two centuries, called Oisig B'Torah L'Shma. Person that's Oisig B'Torah L'Shma. Now, when we say a person is Oisig B'Torah L'Shma, it has many different levels to it. The Tiferes Yisrael says it means he doesn't act, learn Torah because he's frightened of the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him if he doesn't learn. It also means that he doesn't learn Torah for kavod. He wants to be esteemed, so he learns Torah. Those are the simple meanings. But what Rabbi Saul Salanter, and that was really the entire theme of the yeshiva and Volozhin, was to express even a deeper meaning of what we mean by kol ha'isik b'Torah l'shma. We can look upon Torah as a manual, meaning the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Tarya'g Mitzvos. Well, how do you do the mitzvos? Well, you know, every device, every car, every computer comes with a manual. Not too many people could ever understand any of these manuals. They're something else, unless you know enough that you don't need the manual in the first place. Otherwise, the manuals are usually Greek. But nevertheless, it comes with a manual. So we might look at the Torah as a manual. There are Taryag Mitzvahs, so it says to do tzitzis. How do you do tzitzis? It doesn't say in the Torah Shabbat, how to do tzitzis. Well, so you learn the Mishnayis, you learn the Gemaras and the Nochas, you bear it all the Gemaras and Shas. And voila, now you know how to make tzitzis. So you learn Torah to be informed about how to do the mitzvahs. That's Lulay Amanas Lasas. That's true. It's a very high level. But a person not only learns for the intellectual enjoyment of learning, but learns that he should be informed that he served the Rabbeinu Shalom. Very, very noteworthy. But yet there's something even deeper than that. And that is that we learn Torah just to learn Torah. Of course, we're going to fulfill the mitzvahs that we learn. We're from Jews, we're Maminim. But we learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah. And from that standpoint, it makes no difference whether I learn a Mishnah in Kochim or a Mishnah in Tyrus, which deals with things which are not relevant to Zman Hazeh, or I learn a Mishnayis in Masechta Brachos and Masechta Shabbos, which talk about mitzvahs that I have to do today. In terms of Talmud Torah, they're all the same. So when we talk about Torah Lishma, we're talking the understanding that Torah is not only a manual for how to do the mitzvahs, but Torah is a limud, it's something we need to learn for its own sake. There's a famous Gemara, and it's interesting that both some Sefer, and Rabbi Yisrael of Solan both said the same shot in the Gemara. Gemara tells us in the Dorum that why was the Migdash Rishon destroyed? The Migdash Rishon, they were Isaac the Torah. They seem to have been quite accomplished in Torah. And when we look at it, they obviously were, as it says, they asked Sholu ben Aviyim, Sholu ben Chachamim, and no one had any answer why the Migdash was destroyed. What was the ultimate cause of the destruction of the Migdash? If they hadn't been learning Torah, that would have been obvious. You go around at night, and that's it, you know. You can't find the Gemara any place. There's no Daf Yomi. No one's knowledgeable, so you know no one's learning the Torah. It's not very hard. If no one's learning, it's very easy to see. So Shah said that wasn't the problem, but Allah Shalom Baruch Hu, the Torah, they didn't make a bracha at the beginning before they learned. They didn't recite the Birchas HaTorah. And that's a very peculiar thing. Did you ever meet a person that picked up an Esther that didn't recite the bracha? Doing a mitzvah. There's a bracha for the mitzvah, so why did you skip the bracha for? What peculiar type of behavior here was this? And not one person, but this was obviously an affliction of the Dor. The Dor did not generally recite Birchas HaTorah. For what strange reason didn't they recite Birchas HaTorah? They didn't think it was just a secular pursuit. They were from people. Kaim the mitzvahs. Shemit Torah mitzvahs. They learned Torah. Why didn't they recite a bracha? Both Rabbi Saul Salanta and some Sefer answer in the very same fashion. They point to a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos discusses the issue. When we build a sukkah, for example, we make a bracha on Lasei Sukkah. We should well understand that by and large we have to construct a sukkah. Few of us are going to come out on Erev Sukkahs outside in the backyard or in the alley next to a house. And you know what happened? I was very busy this year. I didn't have time to put up the sukkah. But one day I left the garage door open. And I came back that night, the wind came, blew everything out of the garage, put up the whole sukkah, all the walls, and the schach, everything was in place, the lights were in place. The tables and chairs were all out of there, was walk in and make kiddush. I don't think any of my listeners had ever happened to you. And I don't think any of my listeners, well, what happens if there's a hurricane? Maybe it could really do it. Not likely. I mean, generally speaking, before we're going to fulfill mitzvah sukkah, we're only going to have to build a sukkah. So if the Torah tells me to eat in a sukkah, it's in effect telling me to build a sukkah. There is a mitzvah to build a sukkah. So why don't I make a bracha on that? In fact, the Rishalmi says, I do make a bracha on it. The Bavli Paskins, yeah, we don't recite a bracha in this case. Why? Because a mitzvah which has many steps, I only make a bracha on the culmination. Culmination of mitzvah sukkah is to eat in the sukkah. Everything else is getting me to that point. It's not the final step. But not the final step, we don't make a bracha. It's only a preparation. It's helping me to get to the point that I could do a different mitzvah. I don't make a bracha. But the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Saul Salanta both say that this was the deficiency at the end of the first bias. They looked at Torah. Torah is a manual. You want to know how to keep Shabbos? You take out a Masechta Shabbos and you learn it. When you know Masechta Shabbos, you know how to keep Shabbos. You want to know how to make what brochas to make? You take Masechta Brocha. Brochas. You want to know how to make Erevin? You go to Erevin. Oh, Pesach is coming. You better get out to Masechta Pesachim and learn it from cover to cover. And every mitzvah is that way. We'll know how to fulfill the mitzvahs of that chag or that occasion. When we learn the mitzvah, when we learn the Torah of that mitzvah. But what's the point of this Torah? The point of this Torah is that we should be able to fulfill the mitzvah. That's the point. So they said, if that's the case, the Torah is merely a preparation for the goal. So you don't make a bracha on it. So they decided that it's according to the halacha, it's inappropriate to make a bracha on the Torah. You can't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha building the sukkah, we don't make a bracha on learning Torah. But they didn't understand, what Rabbi Saul Salanta wrote greatly about this, is the notion of Torah Lishma. But we don't learn Torah just because we can do the mitzvahs because of it. Of course we have to learn the Torah to know how to do the mitzvahs. But we learn Torah just to learn Torah. If I would know the entire Torah, if I learned Shas 10,000 times already, so I'm not expecting to learn anything new in terms of how to fulfill mitzvah sukkah, how to fulfill mitzvah shayfah. I learned it 10,000 times already. That's it. I know it already. You're not going to ask me a shayla that I can't answer. But I'm still going to learn. Why? Because this is not a preparation for the mitzvahs. Torah is a mitzvah in its own right. And that really has been the great thing that's come forth in the last two centuries. The ascension of the notion of Torah Lishma. Torah is a value in its own right. It's not merely a preparation to do the mitzvahs. If it's a preparation to do the mitzvahs, well, listen, let the Rav learn. And I'll go ask the Rav Shaila and also know how to do it. So what's the problem? You know, the whole point is to do the mitzvahs. How to keep kosher? Listen, I had a Rav for that reason, how to keep kosher. How to keep Shabbos? Well, there's a Rav. But if we understand that Torah Lishma, that the ultimate purpose of Torah is to learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah, then even if we don't have a goal of fulfilling a mitzvah with this learning, I'm learning, say, the Tyrus now. It's unfortunately not relevant in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash. But learning Tyrus, part of the Torah, it's no different, it's no less significant, and no less do we say the Talmud Torah can get kulam for a Mishnah in Tyrus and for a Mishnah in the Sechta Brochus. So this is Rameya, Kala Isik Torah Lishma. The person that learns Torah Lishma. There was a Maisa, and this I've confirmed, whatever my nephew told me that they don't know in the Mishpacha, for a fact that this Maisa took place. You know, there was someone that once said, this is not a Maisa, it's Uvda, it's a fact. But this Maisa actually took place. And the Chazon Ish, Zatzal, was learning the Yerushalmi, and he could not figure out the Yerushalmi. He was just stuck. He could not get a shot in Yerushalmi. So he turned to his brother-in-law, the Stipler, to take a look at this Yerushalmi and see if he could make heads and tails out of the Yerushalmi. So the Stipler broke his head, and he also came to the conclusion he doesn't understand this Yerushalmi. So the Chazon Ish said to the Stipler, says, Yavu Mechutn in Yerushalayim, Rav Yoshe. Maybe ask him if he has what to say about this Yerushalmi. So the Stipler said, go on. So he asked Rav Yoshe, and Rav Yoshe said a pshat. You know, the Stipler told the pshat to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish told the pshat was Lamita Shotar, was correct. And he said, such a pshat could only be said by a person that spent his life learning Torah Lishma, and be zeichet to such a pshat. So, one of the things he's zeichet to is to understand the Torah at its deepest level. So, this is where Rameya begins. Rameya begins telling us per kinyan Torah about the significance of Torah. The first words that the Tanoim wish to tell us is called Isaac the Torah Lishma. Isaac the Torah Lishma. About the significance of Torah Lishma. That's where we have to begin. I want to go to the sixth brisa in this parak. The sixth brisa tells us all the things that a person could be zeichem to, that a person can get, is involved with it when he learns Torah. And goes through, tells all types of things. Torah is nikkus barbom b'shmonadvom, the 48 things you should do if you want to truly acquire Torah. The last thing that it mentions, if a person says a drahalocha and he repeats the name of the person that taught it to him, this is, as we know, a very famous chazal, is maybe Kula Le'elam, but that's a shus. That it brings forth redemption to Klal Yisrael. What have we learned this from? Shenemar, when Mordechai unveiled the plot of Bix and Beseresh, he told it to Esther. And Esther went in turn and told it to Achashverosh. But the pasuk says, "Va'tomer Esther la'melech b'shem Mordechai." She gave the credit to Mordechai. I have an uncle, and my cousin, not my uncle, Ben Dodo, my cousin. And my cousin discovered this plot and saved your life. And we know that this is our ultimate, because Yisrael was saved, that the king was favorably disposed to Mordechai. And he wrote him a sefer Divrei Hayomim, etc., and all the how the Megillah unfolds. And this stems from the fact that Tamar Esther Lamelech Mishay Mordechai. So what's the mile of this? What's the connection? It's very fun. It's a very beautiful thing. We need this. A person should give credit where credit is due. But why is this necessary for the acquisition of Torah? So the Mefarshim tell us the following. And I want to, you, there are a number of pshatim, but I want the final pshat in the Medrash Shmuel is the following. The full understanding of Torah is only going to come about after the Binyan HaMikdash. And there's a Goyin at the very, very end of the Sechta Ovis, that this is implicit in the Goyin there as well. That the Goyin writes in the time of the Golas that it says in the Apostle in Eicha, that the leaders of Klal Yisrael and Golas, ain't Torah, there's no Torah. So therefore, it's an absence of the completion of Torah at this time. And this the Goyin explains at the very, very end of the Sechta Ovis, and only at the time, why? Because we don't have the fullest understanding of the Torah at the time of Golas. Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us back to Atmas HaKadosh, the Gidush Shekhinah, can we fully be Zeichet the Torah. So therefore, he writes the Medrash Shmuel the following. The Torah to acquire Torah is only at the time of the Golos, I mean of the Gula from the Golos. Ki timolei oretz dasas Hashem l'alamayim v'digvan yom ha'chasim. Divinity, spirituality will be very accessible. So in ken kevin shagorim gila yediyas ha'Torah hu ha'imer dover b'shem ha'imah. That a person that says dover b'shem ha'imah will bring the ultimate Gula to that the Rabbeinu Shalom will come. The Yitzhak, it's appropriate, that if a person does things which will bring a greater amount of Torah to the world, then he's worthy. He is worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him Torah. So not only is it just proper midas, which is also necessary for Torah, that you give credit to someone, to a person who deserves the credit. Before I should say, it's also, if I have chidushay Torah, I don't take credit for someone else's chidushim as my own. I give credit where credit is due. I don't try to steal, to take someone else's honor for myself. Furthermore, the Mefarshim tell us that if I always say dover v'shem oimroi, so every person wants to be known for his own chidushim, for his own new ideas in Torah. So therefore, he'll work harder to have his own new ideas, because if I can't say over something from someone else in my name, so I'm going to want something in my mind to say in my own name. So therefore, the person will work harder to find new insights into Torah. But beyond all of that is the fact that he brings the Gilui HaTorah. He brings the revelation of Torah to the dirt. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach to Kano, that will be the ultimate. That will be the ultimate revelation of Torah. And therefore, the person that brings this about, the Zoich, is worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him Torah. He brought Torah to the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Torah to him especially. Now, there's one more Mishnah that I wish to look at, a very fascinating Mishnah, a Braisa test, I should say. Braisa test is a very famous Braisa. There's a very special insight of the Chafetz Chaim into this Braisa. That Braisa test says the following. Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, more than what the Zohar tells us, was the Godel Hador. He was the greatest of his generation. He was traveling. For whatever reason, he was traveling. Some say for Parnassah, or he had other reason to travel. Upogabi Odom Echad. And I met the person along the way. Venosani Shalom, and he greeted me appropriately. Vechzarti Lo Shalom, and I answered him appropriately. He hit it off. Omali, and from his bearing, this person realized that this is a great Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud. Omalo, Rebbe, Me'ezim Mokom Atu, where do you stem from? What town do you come? Where do you live? Omarti Lo Mir G'dayla Shal Chachamim Saipuma. What's important to me is I live in a city of great Chachamim, a great immense Talmud Chacham. That's Yichus of where I live. Is Omali, if that's the case, you're a representative of Torah, you seem to be Omali Rebbe, Ritzon Koshatogar and Menabim Komei. I would like you to come and live in our city. I'll give you a million golden coins. Magolias and all types of precious stones. But we want a person of your stature to live in our community. When I answered, Vini, my dear son, if you gather all the world's riches and give them to me, and you dora lebavokum Torah, I will only live in a place where Torah flourishes. Because ultimately, that's all a person has is his Torah. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal and his parish and Obis asked a very simple question. This man was immensely wealthy. If he had so much money and he was willing to give Rav Yosef and Kisma so much money, Rav Yosef and Kisma should have said yes. And he wanted to have a city of Torah. With that amount of money, he would have been able to build an enormous yeshiva, an enormous kaila. And he could have brought a huge amount of Talmidei Chachamim to this city. So why did he turn it down? He could have been stayed in this place and made it into a Mokum Torah with this amount of resources. At his fingertips, what was the problem? To make a huge yeshiva, or make a kailo, you know, of 200 yungalites. And that's it, Torah would flourish. This would also be a mokum Torah. So why did he turn him down? That's the Chofetz Chaim's kasha. And the Chofetz Chaim gave two answers to this question. One, he said, one is dependent on the person and one is dependent on the place. Chofetz Chaim said, perhaps he sized up the person that this was not a person that he felt he could build a yeshiva together with. Not with every person could be building, not every person could be president of a yeshiva. You know, a person has to have a special character, a special means of relating to the Rav Shiva, a special bearing to deal with the public, all the things that come with the responsibility of being president of a yeshiva. Not every person could be president of a yeshiva. And Rabbi Yosef and Kisma may have sized him up that he was unworthy of being president of yeshiva, so he couldn't build a yeshiva. There's a second possibility, and this the Tiferes Yisroel would probably like, because the Tiferes Yisroel points out the fact that he said that in the Nosan Lisholom, the Zarti Lisholom, seems that he was a refined person. He knew how to relate to Talmid HaChamim in a very meditative fashion, in a very respectful fashion. But the Chofetz Chaim says that's true. But beyond that, the place has to be a place where yeshiva can flourish. He says, a yeshiva cannot flourish in every city and every town. Has to have the right circumstances. Has to be, I guess, not too many distractions. The townspeople are sympathetic. The political situation is quiet. There are many, many factors which dictate where yeshiva can succeed. And sizing up the scene, Rabbi Yosef and Kisma did not feel that yeshiva would succeed in this particular place. And it's very interesting, the Chofetz Chaim, there was a big guy, his name was Rav Telushkin, Zatzal. And one of his svarim that he wrote a svarim on Drush and Chumash. And he was a rav in Russia before he came to the United States. And he once was offered a position in a certain town in Russia, this is before the communist era. And he went to the Chofetz Chaim and he asked the Chofetz Chaim if he should take the job. And the Chofetz Chaim told him no. And he said, does he need a rub? Why shouldn't I take the job? The Chofetz Chaim said, the atmosphere, the secularism of that city is too strong among the Jews. I would not recommend, you should not go to such a place to become rub. So then he asked the Chofetz Chaim, does that mean no one should be the rub in that place? But the Chaim said, I didn't see that either. If you're from that place, if you live there already, that's something else. You could stay there, perhaps, and be the Rav there. But to move to such a place, that's not something you should undertake to do unless the situation is appropriate. So here we have Rav Yosi ben Kisma. And then Rav Yosi ben Kisma's stature was such that the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, when Rav Hanina ben Tragin went to teach Torah Barabbah in the Roman era, so Rav Yosi ben Kisma admonished him and told him to cease forthwith. Because he says he was had very good political ties with the Roman government. And he said, these people are very, very earnest. If you're going to teach Torah Barabbah, they're going to kill you. He told him. So Rav Hanina ben Tragin, the great martyr, who was Moshe Nefesh Torah, so he turns to Rav Yosi ben Kisma and he asks, Mani ben Olam Haba, what's my standing in Olam Haba? Atana, that's Rav Hanina ben Tragin, who would be martyred as one of the Asur HaRugim Alchis. But to whom did he turn? He turned to Rav Yosi ben Kisma to ask him, could you explain my status in Olam Haba? That's a great Rav Yosi ben Kisma was. And Afal Ikein, as great as he was, Rav Yosi ben Kisma says, any door I'll ever open to Torah. The Torah cannot be in a place where Torah flourishes. It can exist before I came there. If I can make it flourish in that place, that's also fine. I would also go to that expenses. But if I can't find either particular way of seeing the growth of Torah, my own growth, because there are Talmidei Chacham that already lived there, I can establish a place and bring new Talmidei Chacham there. And even the Gadol HaDor of Yosef and Kisma said it's not a place that I would go to. So, but it teaches us is how careful we have to be. The friends that we keep, the associations that we make, places that we live, because that ultimately dictates how far we will get in our spirituality, in our ruchnius. I always told my talmidim, and I still tell them, that if you want to know how frum you're going to be when they're 15 years old, I said, take out a piece of paper, and I want you to make a little note. And you put it in your wallet, and leave it there for 15 years. Don't take it out. And when you take it out, then I want you to take it out. I'm going to tell you now, at the age of 15, how frum you're going to be at 30. Well, I'm not a novel. I wanted to take out a piece of paper and write on the piece of paper the following. I will be not as frum as my parents, not as frum as my rebbeim, but as frum as the chaver, the friends that I have. Whatever your peers are, that's what your level in life is most likely to be. And choose your friends and your associates carefully. That's what the Rav Yosi ben Kisma said. If I can't be in a place of Torah, it's not worth anything to me. All the money in the world, all the prestige in the world, means nothing at all. My life has to be in a place where I can associate with Talmidei Chacham. The Gadol HaDor expressed himself in this fashion. How striking that lesson is for all of us to realize how careful we have to be in choosing what we do in life, where we do it in life, and with whom we do it. It's been a pleasure on my side to see all of you.